What's up, everybody? Welcome to Your Favorite Fight. I'm your host, David Golden, sitting here with my unofficial co-host of Your Favorite Fight, Jake Smith, bringing it again, bringing the heat. What's going
always,
on, man?
Always coming back with the heat. That's what I do. I'm sure we're going to be talking some more Connor stuff, so that's going to be fun. I'm glad we're rehashing that.
Nobody's talking about that fight.
No.
My brother-in-law just got back from Ireland. I was talking to him this morning on Skype. And
Is this the guy that's like the hugest?
No, not at all. Okay. I wanted to ask him so bad. Like, did you see any like posters or Conor McGregor anything? But he was not looking for that. That's not what he was there for at all.
He's not like a huge fight guy or?
No, not at all. He lives in Spain. He teaches English.
Oh, okay. So he's a cultured folk. Huh?
Yeah, super
cool.
Cultured.
Yeah. That's
his neat. Son is like a freaky genius.
Yeah. All right. So that makes sense as to why he was like, what? Like.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I wanted to ask so bad, but I didn't. I figured, whatever. Like, probably not a big deal to you, but I'm just curious because, you know, people in Ireland fucking love him.
You would have to imagine that, it's just like a... Like, maybe, like when he comes into town, like, a swarm of people, you know, just kind of gravitate to that guy.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's got to be something like that. Like, and at least there's got to be, like, flyers on mm-hmm. buses, like, billboards and shit. Like, I would imagine there's something, but, I mean, who knows?
I'm kind of envious that I'm not from, like, a smaller country because of that. Like, in America, you're kind of, like, if you become something, like, yeah, but, you know, there's... all these other Americans who are super athletes and stuff, but like when you come from like a small country like Ireland and you make it, it's like, yeah, you fucking made it, you know?
Yeah, so. Totally. Or if you're the best like Swiss kickboxer, Switzerland is like itty bitty.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like fucking Rhode Island or some shit. Like you're the best in the state. Like to us, it's just a state champion, but to them, it's like, oh man, you're their pride and joy.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, Oregon's a small state. You could just like, could just rep Oregon super hard.
Not really, because you know you got Nike, you know, like a lot of big things have already come out of Oregon, so it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, but like
look, an example, Chell. Not that big.
No, but Randy Couture is fucking huge and he's still famous, and that fool hasn't fought in a long time. He's in movies and shit.
Yeah, but I mean like you think if he comes to Oregon, like there's going to be people like, "Oh shit, like things are going to be stopping for Randy."
No, probably not.
No.
No, probably not.
Like, I saw him in New York, and, like, he was just, like, standing in the lobby, like, him and Dan Henderson, like, all these fighters. No one gave a fuck.
Yeah,
like,
but no, it's MMA. Nobody really gives
it's
a fuck
weird,
except for MMA people.
It's weird. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's, like, the people who know. Like, I was at the at a Bellator show in San Jose, and Sakuraba was there, and I was like, holy shit! Like,
right?
I ran down the steps, and I went over there. I got a picture with him. I was like, the Gracie killer, dude! Yeah. I can't believe this!
That's
and, like,
awesome.
I'm taking a picture with him, and, like, here we are, like, however long later, the UFC has this new announcer. This is
Todd
Grisham.
Had no idea who it was.
Had no idea who Sakuraba was. Man, fire him.
Right.
Fire him. Hire me, hire anybody else, hire Nick Kooning, hire somebody, somebody who knows the fucking sport. Give me a fucking break. This guy doesn't know. So, like, okay, maybe you can't pronounce his name very well, but like, let's not try to pretend. Like
mm-hmm.
you have to, like, there has to be like an exam. Like you have to take a test or something.
You got to have a little bit of knowledge. If you don't know who Sakuraba is, like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, totally. Right. But like, dude, if he were in the grocery store here, nobody would know who he was.
Exactly. Yeah.
So MMA is still even though like, people say it's the fastest growing sport, I was looking into it, and it doesn't seem like it's growing very much right now. It's like pretty, it's kind of plateaued.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they certainly can build it up. I mean, now that Jon Jones is back, and you know, and back
Jones,
with a vengeance.
You got Connor. You got there's a lot of big names. Yeah, man, that Jones fight was definitely depressing for me. Not
yeah,
gonna lie.
That was hard, right? Well, let's dive into that fight a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about that fight. I know you're a DC guy.
I sure
like,
am.
Like, I'm also a DC guy. I, you know, like I love him. My buddy Tommy hit me to him back in the King of the Cage days. Like, check this dude out. He's the real deal. Like you know, I liked him fine then, but like, his build up through Strikeforce was so incredible.
I think I remember his like first fight I saw in Strikeforce. I didn't like him.
No?
I thought he was boring.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, he's whack. Like, he almost seemed like kind of just out of shape and just...
He definitely seemed out of shape.
Like, he just kind of... Like, he won the fight, but it was, like, just a boring kind of, you know. But, like, it then soon, like, you know, he started really, like, kick up the tempo. And then you saw him, you know, in that he was that dark horse in that tournament. Like, that was dope, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, coming into the heavyweight tournament for Strikeforce as an alternate and just dominating, like
knocked out Bigfoot, broke his hand.
Yeah, I mean, and the fight he had with Josh Barnett was intense.
I didn't expect that to happen. I was like, okay, Barnett's gonna get this guy.
I don't know how Barnett lasted in that fight, man. I like Barnett is tough as nails. Yeah. Like that was incredible because DC put it on him early in that fight.
Yeah,
but I guess DC kind of did that in this fight with John Jones. I mean, he really took the fight to Jones, like
I right thought, out of the gate, man. I thought he was winning the fight, honestly.
Yeah,
I
totally
did. I don't know if you've seen that like clips that people have been sharing on like Twitter and Instagram of Jones. He called out what he was gonna do.
Oh,
well, like he didn't really call it out, but like they're talking and like Jones like, oh yeah, there's some blatant holes, and then DC's like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, and they kind of go into it, and then like they kind of talk about how DC gets caught with like a head kick when he fought Josh Barnett.
Yeah,
and he got cut.
Yep.
Then you know you go to the Johnson fight, head kick.
Yeah.
And then now Jones.
But he's always had such a like such good recovery in those situations. I don't know why, I just assumed like he'd be able to fight through that kind of stuff, you know? Like obviously a perfectly placed head kick is a perfectly placed head kick, and for like 9 out of 10 dudes, like they were probably
they knocked out cold. Off.
They would have just fallen over.
Yeah.
And to DC's credit, like, you know, he stood up, like he was like, out on his feet, but he was there, you know.
He was, you know, you could see that he was trying to get his wits about him, and he was, you know, he was doing the running thing where you're trying to catch your feet when you're slipping, trying to catch your feet. And Jones, he is so fucking smart because
he's
normally
smart.
Normally I feel like everyone else would just bomb in and just start punching you in the head, right? Just
looking at
you. He goes for a trip. Like, he's like, oh, I see you're having problems standing. Let me just kick at your leg and now I'm going to fucking pound you out. Like,
right?
So that's the smartest fight IQ I've ever seen, I think.
And that was vicious ground and pound.
Yeah.
Like, vicious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the length he has on his arms and as far back as he was with full force.
The way that it was landing, too, kind of like...
Yeah.
Not behind the ear, but...
Side of the head.
Clipping the ear. Like, it's perfect position.
Yeah, man. The early part of that fight, DC did such a good job of pressing the action. And even though Jones was landing a lot of kicks,
mm-hmm.
a lot of side kicks, like, because some people argue that Jones might have won the first two rounds on those kicks. But, like, people don't understand how important pressure is when you're watching a fight, like, as a judge. You're sitting there watching a fight as a judge. Like, you're not necessarily seeing the same nuances that we're seeing on TV because you're live.
Yeah.
They don't always have a monitor there, you know? And even if they do have a monitor, like they're in an environment that's gonna definitely affect the way they feel about the fight.
The momentum was
so clear, you know?
They should wear, like, headphones or something.
Something where I
feel like they should be isolated from like, the crowd.
Yeah, maybe.
Noises, you know what I mean?
Put them in,
like, that can persuade them, like booing and...
Yeah, put them in a booth or something. You know,
something
put them in
like
a booth
that.
Where
yeah.
they watch it on a monitor with no audio.
Yeah.
Like, that might be cool. That might be a fun way to do it. But there's something about being there, too, because I've seen judges at fights actually get up and move so they could see a position better.
Really?
So they could see,
I didn't
like,
know that they were allowed to move.
I've seen them do it.
That's
I don't
cool.
know if they're allowed to in Nevada, but I've seen them do it in Oregon. I've been there. I watched a guy get up and move to see if a choke was in, because if the dude's just burning out his arms, he's not going to give him credit. But if it's under the chin, especially a judge who knows jiu-jitsu is going to say, oh man, that's more important to me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I can appreciate that. But like, definitely the momentum was in DC's corner through the first two rounds, like by far. I mean, he was really putting the fight to Jones. Like,
yeah,
I was excited to see it, but like, man, to hear Jones after the fight say, yeah, we knew that he dipped his head to the side and I was gonna land that kick, like they knew that was gonna happen. They baited him into it. Like, man, you're right, talk about fight IQ. That is, I mean, that they really planned that out perfectly, and executed exactly the way they wanted to. It's kind of like Faraz, Zahabi, and GSP. They have mm-hmm. these crazy game plans, and GSP goes with those game plans like no matter what. Yeah. But those game plans are always super boring. Jones goes for a game plan that's like, yeah. I'm gonna wait for him to dip. I'm gonna throw a crazy head kick and knock him out. Like,
I feel like GSP, like his, like, you know, you talk about fight IQ. Yeah, he's smart, but I feel like he kind of sticks to the same stuff every time. Like, he switches up just between two. It's either he's going in with all grappling base or it's all striking. Like Jake Shields, I'm gonna jab you to death, trying to get taken down. You know, when he fights someone else, he's, you know, he's just taking him down constantly, like a Nick Diaz, or, you know, I don't know. Like, so there's something about GSP that rubs me wrong. I don't really like him.
Oh, me too, man. I like GSP. I like GSP from like his first, you know, three or four fights in the UFC were really exciting, throwing axe kicks, like, you know, his takedowns were emphatic, his ground and pound was crazy, and then he just got to that point where it seemed like he was fighting not to lose as opposed to fighting to win.
Yeah.
But then when you see him get angry in fights, like when you see him fight BJ Penn, especially in the second fight, like, man, he brutalized BJ Penn
he beat him up.
Beat him up, you know, pretty badly. Or was it the third? Was it the third fight? They fought three times or two times?
No, they only fought twice.
Twice. Yeah, the second fight where they threw the talon. But like GSP was putting it on him. And like if he fought like that all the time. Right? Yeah, Grease Gate for sure. But if he fought like that all the time. You know, like really aggressive knees to the body kind of shit. Like, I would love that. But John Jones, he does fight like that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I have a real love-hate relationship with John Jones. I want to love John Jones. I really, really do. Like,
yeah.
Like, I, like, his fights are incredible, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, nobody's doing what he's doing. He's a special
talent, man.
Yeah. But, like, in his interviews, it's like this, like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing, man. He's like,
fake.
But then after that fight, like, he seemed so sincere.
I don't buy it. I don't fucking buy it.
I can't buy it because I've seen the other side of him, right? Yeah. But like, he seemed like pretty sincere in the cage. Like, yeah. I have to say, he came off sincere. But then on Joe Rogan's podcast, he came off like a complete weirdo. Like, he came off like a real weirdo. Like, and I want to like this guy. I really do. Because like, talent-wise, like, his fights are incredible. Mm-hmm. He's probably the best mixed martial artist that has ever walked the planet, like, outside of like Bruce Lee, who was not like fighting MMA.
Man, but I don't even know about that one.
Dude,
he's an actor.
He's an actor, but man, he's a crazy athlete, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
In any other world, he's playing in the NFL. You know what I mean? In any other world, he's
talking about John Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was talking about Bruce Lee.
No.
You said NFL, I was like, wait a minute.
No, no. But you know, people talk about Bruce Lee, like,
because... No, I got you. Yeah.
Because of how important he is to martial arts. But I just use that as an example. Like, you know, in terms of a dude walking the earth who could whoop your ass, Bruce Lee could whoop your ass. John Jones could whoop your ass.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Like, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, like, you know, the whole like pound for pound like debate, right? Like, when you think of the pound for pound, like pound for pound, how do you break it down in your head?
So for me, pound for pound best fighter in the world is the most dominant, like for sure the most dominant in their respective weight class, like, and how much more dominant are they than all the other dominant guys in their weight classes or girls in their weight classes, right? So like,
yeah,
like, it's not just about, to me, like, oh, finishes or whatever. Like, for example, Damian Maia, like, he's an incredible talent at what he does.
Yeah.
And in most fights he goes in there, he doesn't really get hit. He finishes people off super quick. Like, when I think about pound for pound, like, that's kind of an important factor, right? Like, he's not taking a bunch of damage, but like, Damian Maia is never going to get past a guy who has killer takedown defense, you know? But then you think about, like, Mighty Mouse Johnson, like, who can, like who's holding a flame to that guy? Like, you know what I mean? Like no one's out striking him. No one's out wrestling him. No one's out grappling him. It's not been done. Yeah. And it's not even been close, you know? Yeah. Where John Jones, he almost lost to Gustafson. Watching the fight live, I thought he did. Going back and watching it a second time, like, I watched it not too long ago for a podcast I did with Understanding.
I need to rewatch,
like,
that.
John Jones probably won the fight. Like, yeah, I'm okay with that. But like, man, that was a close fight. you know, John Jones fight with DC, this last one, you know, like Mighty Mouse is not getting in those kind of fights because no one's going to touch him. Yeah. Nobody. And like maybe it's a talent issue. I don't know. But for me, pound for pound means like you are a number one most talented over anybody in terms of like how you're handling not only your division, but like your individual fights.
Yeah.
And so I think of Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Like she's so dominant, and any hole she's had in her game, she's already improved. Uh-huh. Like her takedown defense, like early on, wasn't that great, and now it's like all of a sudden no one can take her down.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to me. So like fighters like that, I think of as pound for pound, and I guess maybe I gravitate towards lighter fighters, like unintentionally, mm-hmm. but just because I feel like they don't necessarily get the credit. But like
no, definitely.
But like you know, at a time, whoever was holding the 155 belt was always in the argument for pound for pound best, right? Like when BJ Penn was dominant, people were like, shit, this guy's probably the best in the world.
Yeah.
GSP at 170 pounds at one point in time, people considered him pound for pound number one champ, you know, number one fighter on the planet. And I think it's hard to say that John Jones is not in the discussion, mm-hmm. but like for me, Mighty Mouse is heads and tails better than John Jones.
100%.
Like, it's not even close.
Yeah. So, like, when I think about it, like, because, like, I know, like, I've heard other people use argument, like, oh, it's obviously always going to be the heavyweight because he's the biggest and strong, you know. When I look at it, I like to look at the fighter's skill set, and then I go, okay, now let's imagine he has the same exact skill set he has at this weight.
But ooh, then, that's a good way to look at it.
But then he goes up to light heavyweight. If he's able to still do the same things he's able to do there, is he still going to be the best? Mighty Mouse is the best all around. He is the best. If you add on, if he had all the skills he has and you added, and he was a heavyweight, he'd be the best. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think anyone like really thinks about that. Like pound for pound best means if you're at a weight class, like any weight with your skill set, you are the best.
Yeah.
So like that, you know, and then that's where the whole John Jones, Mighty Mouse argument comes in. And I think, you know, yes, John is great, but I also feel like a lot of stuff that he does is not technically sound, mm-hmm. and he leaves a lot of openings. If people were just able to bridge that gap, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. I feel like no one is able to do that yet. You know, like it, I don't know. It also, you know, John has that extra length and reach on him. So you get one shot at that, figure that out.
That's true. But do you?
No one has had a rematch with him, but DC. That's and look true. How well DC was doing with that rematch.
Yeah. Well,
now and Gustafson comes in.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, man. And if John Jones, who fought Ovince St. Preux, fought DC, it's over.
Oh yeah,
it's over. It's not even like. However, I think he would have prepared better for DC than he would have for OSP. But
well,
but like so in terms of his fighting, do you like, here's my issue with John Jones is that he relies so heavily on his athleticism.
Yeah.
Like do you take issue with that? Like not maybe not issue, but like do you see that as a problem for him? Because like I certainly do. When it comes down to like as he ages, that's gonna fade. You know what I mean?
See, the thing is like I see what you're saying, because like, you know, you can go to like Roy Jones Jr., you know,
BJ Penn, Anderson Silva.
The thing is with John Jones' athleticism, I don't see him being. He's not super fast. He's not overly powerful. Like the things I think he has that makes him so well and dynamic is the stuff that he's never going to lose, like his length, his reach,
creativity, you know, maybe
his creativity. I feel like those are things that are always going to be there as far as, you know, his attributes or whatever. But like athleticism, I mean, he does try to do like crazy throws and spinny kicks and stuff.
And that stuff relies so heavily on athleticism. I guess if you do flawless like technique will always pan out in those like spinning techniques for sure. But like,
man, maybe he'll get a little bit slower. But I feel like just because he's so, you know, unorthodox, it's kind of hard to really read.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, again, with the length and stuff, like, that's always going to help him with his wrestling, regardless. Yeah. Like, you know, when you have that, if you shoot in on someone and you have those long-ass arms and they're, you know, they're sprawling out, spreading their legs
constantly
out.
Constantly have underhooks on you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're going to be able to scoop underneath and, you know, so I mean, I think eventually it's going to catch up to him, of course, But I mean, he's still young as shit, man. How old is he?
Like, I think he's 30. 30. So he's not that young.
He's just now about to probably start hitting his prime. Like, he's not even in his prime.
See, I think he just like railroaded the best part of his prime. You think so? I personally think 28 to 30 is like the best. The best a fighter's going to be. I know to 32 probably. 32, 33 is like, you still have a great range there. And in today's world of, you know, supplements and the way people train for fights and the way people quite honestly take fights that match up favorably for them.
Of course.
Like, you know, especially early on in your career, that's important for a guy like you or, you know, young fighters coming up. Like, don't take stupid fights. Why would you do that? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, a loss for you now is so much worse than a loss for you later.
Exactly.
But like, you know, so in this day and age, obviously people are going to be able to last longer. Mm-hmm. And I get that. But like, to me, when I see a guy who is like uber athletic, 28, 29 years old, it's like that's it for me, like, as far as I'm concerned, because I look at what you just trained with him,
Kevin Lee.
Yeah. Is he 29?
No, man,
or is he 27? He's young. So imagine when he's 28. Like, imagine in that window, like, he's only getting better. You know, he had some holes in his game. Chiesa, like, kind of had him in a couple spots early in that fight, but like, you know, a guy like him, it's going to be incredible when he's 27, 28, and 29 years old. It's going to be unbelievable. Or like,
he's so fast,
you know, he's super fast, right? Yeah. And like I think that's great. But John Jones, he was dominant before he hit his mid to late 20s. Yeah. And then he shit the bed and we didn't get to see him do much of anything over the last couple of years. And like, man, if he had had his shit together and had his mind right and had been in there, like, we would have been done talking about DC a long time ago. Unfortunately, I love DC and I want to root for him, but like, like, in any other world, DC is the baddest 205 pounder on the planet. Definitely. But in this world, as long as John Jones exists, you're not, unfortunately. It's just not going to happen.
You know, that's so just heartbreaking.
Dude, it is. And you know, I think credit to him for dropping down to 205 because he wanted to be a heavyweight and he didn't because his teammate was the UFC champion. So at this point, Cain Velasquez can't stay healthy. I want to see DC move back up to heavyweight, not have to cut weight and fight at heavyweight, because there's no dominant fighter at heavyweight in the UFC, really.
So you, like, you heard about the new weight classes that were passed?
Yeah.
What if they added in like a 225?
That would be incredible, but I don't think, like, they're gonna do it.
I know, it was just so stupid, right?
It's ridiculous.
I really would, like, I heard talks of like they're gonna do like a 165 weight class or something.
Mm-hmm.
I would start believing in God or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Well, I hate that there's all these big, like, because, you know, like, I'm getting down to 155 right now. But honestly, I'm an in-betweener, I think. I don't know if I'm going to be honest. I'm a little worried about 55. Like, it's, I don't know how my body's going to react to it.
Yeah, you can't IV anymore, which would have been incredible, right?
Like, you can't do that.
After a fight, after a weight cut, if you could go get an IV, you'd be fine.
Which actually brings me to Ricky's fight. Which is why I wanted to bring up, because we were talking a little bit before the podcast, and, you know, Ricky looked amazing.
Sure.
But so, I don't think he, like, you know, it was closer than I think a lot of people thought the fight was going to be.
Sure. So Jake's talking about one of his teammates, Ricky Simone, just fought on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. It was last week, last Tuesday. Ricky is a fighter in Oregon who is notoriously hard to get fights for because people don't want to fight him. Mm-hmm. Then when he does get fights, people get injured or they drop out or whatever. I would say for a little while he was a little stubborn and didn't want to move out of his weight class, from what I heard.
Yeah.
And then he did take some fights, a weight class up, and that's good for him. But, you know, so Ricky had this fight, huge fight for him. He fought and he did win his fight. He dominated his fight, but it was he didn't get the UFC contract, which was, you know, disappointing for him, I'm sure. But also, you know, he still went in there and did great work. So
he got paid too, so that's great. And the guy that he was fighting, I think, is normally a 25er. So,
oh, is he?
So that guy didn't really have to cut too much weight to make 135. Ricky took this on fairly short notice.
Yep.
And like I said, he's been fighting at 45. I mean, he's always in great shape. So You know, he's able to make the weight, but when you're under the contract of Zuffa or it's not even Zuffa, whatever it is, UFC, whatever the regulations they use, you can't have an IV.
Well, that's Nevada State Athletic Commission, right? You can't have an IV.
Is it, or is it just? I don't know if USADA. That's. I don't think it's Nevada. I think it's just.
It's like part of the USADA deal. Yeah,
the thing, whatever UFC. It's
well, I mean, UFC, you know, they're trying to keep it safe. They're trying to keep guys outside of unnatural weight classes.
Yeah, but I also think that's very dangerous too.
It is, but
because if they really cared that much, they would add more weight classes.
Yeah, but at that weight, they have added more weight classes. You have 125, 135, 145, 155. You're talking four weight classes in a window.
No. I'm saying in general. Like, I'm talking about the rule.
For sure. But where it's really been a problem is lighter weight classes. You know what I mean? Like they're, you know, like the guys like Jose Aldo and Henan Barao and, you know, like all those guys, all those alpha male dudes like that. That's, you know, Conor McGregor, like, you know, those guys, it's those guys who are the reason for this. Cause dudes who are fighting at 205, like not a lot of guys cutting a gigantic amount of weight to fight at 205.
Yeah.
You know, John Jones maybe being the exception. Yeah. Sure. But like not a lot of guys doing that. There are a good number of guys from 205 to 185 who cut like crazy.
Yeah.
So that's the problem to me is you have 125, 135, 145, 155, and then it goes 170, then it goes 185, then it goes 205, and then you're talking heavyweight at what point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like that's where they need to fix it, you know. Do they scrap 170 and just keep that 10-pound interval, you know? Who knows? Yeah. But I mean they're not going to change it.
I mean still regardless the whole IV ban, I think it's retarded. Like, I get what they're trying to do. Like, oh, well, then you shouldn't have to cut that much weight. Well, that's great and grand, but, you know, I don't know. Everyone's body's different. But anyways, like I'm saying is, because, like, at a point in that fight I was watching, it looked like Ricky was getting a little bit tired, and Ricky never gets tired. And I don't know if that's because of, you know, it was, again, it was kind of short notice. Like, he only had, like, a few weeks to, you know, get down to that weight.
Well, I honestly think he looked a little bit nervous, like, beginning really? See, of that
I
fight.
I didn't think he looked nervous.
I thought he looked a little bit nervous, like, not as willing to throw hands early on. And, you know, in his last couple of fights that I've seen, like, he's, like, clearly been working on his striking, and he's more willing to throw punches. By the third round, he was throwing them, but I don't think he really was, like super comfortable right out of the gate. Maybe he wasn't super nervous, but
the game plan wasn't to stand with the guy.
Sure, of course not. Yeah. Ricky Simon is an incredible wrestler. Like,
well,
like,
I mean, that guy was known for well, I mean, you watched the fight.
He's done,
you know, haymakers and stuff. So. Yeah. And the guy bum rushed him right at the beginning.
Yeah, well, and Ricky's only loss comes from essentially the exact same scenario. Yeah, where he's clipped, fighting a guy, where he's fighting a guy who his only shot is to catch you with a crazy haymaker.
Yeah.
Catches him, and then Ricky goes down, and the guy gets the choke. But like in this fight, like, you know, the kid he was fighting comes out and does, you know, I wouldn't say like damages him, but like certainly connects on him, and Ricky's backing up a little bit, clearing his head, and that dude is like bull rushing him.
Yeah,
and maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. Like, I didn't think he looked super tired.
I don't think he was super tired, but I can tell just like he was a little bit more winded than normal.
Yeah,
is all I'm saying.
And maybe like, the weight cut has like, something
known,
to do with
I've
it.
I've known Ricky. You know, me and Ricky have known each other since, you know, high school. Like I was the guy that got him in, you know, into fighting. Like,
sure.
And I apologize to him for the brain damage and stuff he's going to ensue later in his life. I've already done that. But, you know, so like me watching it, like I knew he was, you know, I felt like he did great. I was impressed with it. I thought it was amazing. I honestly thought there was no way that he was not going to get a contract. But, you know, there was two other finishes, and that's what promoters want. You know, they want finishes.
Well, you know, so let's dive into the fight a little bit deeper. I think this is a great fight to talk about. So Ricky in the opening round, he like we were saying, he wasn't throwing a lot of punches, but he was getting a lot of takedowns.
Yeah,
like kind of at will, he was getting takedowns. Mm-hmm. Or like right out of the gate, he couldn't get them, but as soon as he started to get them, it was like okay, he's gonna keep getting these. He was landing some good kicks and some punches.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting those takedowns, you know. And the first round, the the commentators were like, well, you know, I don't know if he got it because the other guy was more aggressive. But, like,
yeah,
really the only story of the first round was Ricky's takedowns, as far as I'm concerned. So maybe the first round wasn't super impressive because he couldn't keep the guy on the ground. The guy kept getting back up.
The guy was scrappy. He's
pretty wiry, popped back up a lot. Yeah. And I was looking for Ricky, like, when he got him down, really to climb the ladder on the guy. I thought he was going to get him down and he was going to get, you know, like, half guard or even try to work like a low mountain climb up. Like, I thought for sure that would work for him, but that guy was
really explosive.
Super explosive.
That's what it was, 'cause like every time Ricky would get him down, as soon as that guy's butt touched, boom, he was already scooting back, already moving, mm-hmm. already positioning. And it's just one of those things where sometimes a guy, you know, he's so scrappy, it's just,
yeah,
you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, like you said, man, the guy wasn't, you know, when you're not cutting weight or anything like that, you have your full strength. You have,
sure.
You know, and I think that's a little bit of a factor.
And I think there's a little pressure on that guy.
Yeah.
Seeing as his brother is in the UFC and they kind of hype that up a little bit.
I don't know. Did you look at that guy's record?
I did.
Like, his only two losses are two legit opponents.
Before
Ricky.
But he was coming in this fight off a loss.
Which is kind of weird that he got the call still to do that. But, like, I feel like that... Yeah. So, like, I feel like that kind of fucked Ricky over, too. Because I think people looking at this... Or, you know, the UFC is like, okay, the guy's 6-2. You know, Ricky's 9-1. He should go in there and finish this guy.
And to be completely honest, there are some unfair expectations for Ricky because there have been talks about Ricky for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Like people have talked about him as a potential UFC fighter for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
And Chael has talked about him a lot. And I would guess that Chael has mentioned to a matchmaker or to Dana White or whoever, you know, you guys need to be looking at this guy. I mean, shit, Chael has, you know, Chael does a great job of selling teammates and stuff, but he's hyped up Ricky on his podcast a couple of times where he said he could be a fighter who's more dominant than Conor McGregor, he said.
Yeah.
And you know, like, when you put that kind of pressure on a guy, that creates an expectation. And so, you know, like, there were rumblings that Ricky was going to get on the UFC Seattle card. I heard this through a couple different people.
I heard that too.
You know, and so if that's the case, and then that card falls apart, you know, he says on Twitter to Sean Shelby and Dana White, yo, put me on the Tuesday Night Contender Series, I'm ready. And then a day later, I see a post online from one of his coaches that, yo, UFC the Dana White Contender Series is happening for one of our fighters. It took all of one day and one comment on Twitter to get him on that show.
Obviously, tweeting at him quite a bit.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like obviously they knew who he was. They had him on, he was on their radar. So,
yeah.
So you know, it did put him in a tough position. But, you know, like let's say the first round is a little bit jitters and, you know, whatever. The second round, he comes out and he shows that, you know, maybe he's a little more well-rounded because he does start throwing way more kicks. He starts landing good punches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's throwing some good punches on the inside up against the cage, and he's continuing to land takedowns like mad.
Yeah.
And he was doing that. I was talking to you about this before the podcast. He was landing that trip where he'd take the guy down to, Ricky would take him down to his right, and as he's trying to force him to the right, and the guy's like trying to hold up, he was doing the inside trip on the opposite leg and taking him down the other direction.
Yeah, it's like an old wrestling.
Yeah.
It's over under, and then you do like misdirection, and then you sweep out the leg.
Yeah. And it worked like a fucking charm.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was like, it was so clean. Like, the first one he landed, I was like, ooh, nice trip. That was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. And then he did it like two or three more times in the fight. It was money for him. Like, you know, second round, I mean, he came out and he certainly looked better in the second round than he did in the first round.
Yeah, man, he was tagging that guy with some good clean shots. He hit this the slip that Andy Minsker taught us. He slipped, and then, like, but you drop your lead hand, which is kind of like, you know, you're not, it's not normal to do. But you slip and you fire back with the right hand. He caught the guy twice with it, just clean on chin.
Yeah.
Just slip, pop.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, man. Like, I just wish he had a little bit more power, you know? He just needs, like, grow his ass out a little bit more, because he'd be knocking some fools out for sure.
Yeah.
Like, that should have knocked that dude out.
Yeah, well, and he landed, I mean, even the, like, he landed a couple stiff jabs that, like, clearly, like, kind of rocked the guy a little bit. Like, and it was just a jab, you know? It was just a clean jab, and you're like, oh, well,
yeah, what do we have here? You know, and he was, I feel like he was trying to, like, he was trying to showboat a little bit, you know, trying to show Dana White, like, hey, look at me, you know, I'm an exciting fighter.
That's what you have to do, right?
And, you know, I just think, well, you know, unfortunately, two other guys just had finishes that night.
Yeah, well.
But the rumor is, this is a rumor, I'm starting it, after the fights, Sean Shelby did come backstage and talk to Ricky. And that little chit-chat. So don't be surprised if you see him in the UFC soon, is all I'm going to say.
That's good. That's good to hear, man. I think that so the third round of that fight was like the money round for Ricky, right? Like, that round was when he really started throwing punches. He took that dude's absolute best shot in the third round. The guy landed an uppercut that knocked Ricky's head clean back, and Ricky just, like, stepped off to the side, composed himself, and went back to landing punches.
Yeah,
like, he started roughing that dude up in the third round, and he got a takedown later in the round, and, like, eventually gets on top of him. I mean, he's, you know, he's got him in mount, and he's throwing punches, and the fight, you know, and the fight ends.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got 30 more seconds, he's finishing that guy. Yeah. He's going to choke him or pound out a, you know, TKO. Like, you know, he found a point to turn it on. I thought it was an excellent showing for Ricky. And after all the fights were over, Dana White made a comment before he's, you know, saying who he's giving out the contracts to.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a comment that I thought was literally directed specifically at Ricky.
See, I didn't see it. So I went to go train with Kevin Lee right after all this.
Okay.
So I missed this. So
he says there are some guys that were out here tonight that are really good fighters, but they're pretty young, and I'd like to see them get a couple more fights, and they're in divisions that have a lot of talent, that are pretty stacked divisions. And there's only one guy on that card that night who was 24 years old.
Really?
And happens to be in a division that is full of killers. Yeah. And that's Ricky. Like, I really think that comment was pointed right at him. Like
which is
I honestly
weird.
Do.
Weird that he would say that, looking at what who's the champion at 135?
Cody Garbrandt.
Right.
But,
how old is he?
Yeah, I know. And
does he have?
I know. Someone mentioned this to me the other day,
fucking
but that
dumb.
Was... But he has a couple of things working for him, right? So he gets in the UFC because he's with Team Alpha Male.
Yeah.
And if Uriah Faber tells Dana White, hey, this guy's ready to fight in the UFC, he's going to fight in the UFC most likely, right? Like, there's that
you
connection.
Know, I thought it was weird. I'm surprised Uriah didn't remember Ricky, because Uriah, like, we went down to Alpha Male, like, a while ago. Ricky actually went down there without me one time. And Uriah was trying to recruit him to, you know, to live in one of the houses and stuff and be part of the team. Like, that was a thing. So, like, I was expecting him to say something about that. Like, oh, yeah, this guy came down and he trained with us and blah, blah, blah. But so, like, I don't know, man. Like, this fight, you know, honestly, fighting in general to me, like, outside of Ricky, outside of this, it's fucking frustrating. It's really frustrating. You never know what's, you know... What's next? Who's, you know, when's your opportunity going to come? You know, you see other people who get opportunities, we're like, wait a minute, how the fuck did they deserve an opportunity? It's fucking politics. It's about who you know.
It's totally
and
about
it,
who
you
know,
man.
I mean, it's 100% fucking, about who you know. Unless you're...
It's so frustrating.
Unless you're, you know, this, like, uber talented, like, clearly this guy's, like, the next prospect everyone needs to know about. But people hear about that guy ahead of time, right? But, like, for the most part... you know, regionally, everywhere you go, there's a circuit full of guys who are fighting, who are 5-0, 6-0, you know, there's a lot of those guys in just about every state or individual region that, you know, people travel to and fight, you know, it just, it exists. And it's not like the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball where, you know, the absolute cream of the crop make it and everybody else doesn't. You can go pro know what I mean? You can turn 18 years old. You can have three amateur fights that were all losses, and you can still go pro, man. Yeah. It's not a hard thing to do. You just declare, and there you are. You know, you fill out the paperwork, and that's it. You know, now you don't fight for free. You get paid. You know, and that's really the definition, right? So it's like everywhere you go, there's going to be prospects. There's going to be prospects galore, right? And if you don't get to the right camp, you're not going to get the right promotion. You're not going to get the right looks. You know what I mean? If you're in Oregon and you know, at one point, if you weren't training with Team Quest, you weren't going to get a look.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not training with Gracie Baja, there's a good chance you're not going to get a look. You know, there's a handful of guys in this state that are down in Southern Oregon that might, you know, they're talented guys, you know, but even some of those guys are working their way up here, you know, like, Austin Vandefort, right? Like working his way up here, you know, or Adam Fugit, or, you know, whoever. Like those guys are going to try to come up and train in a place that's going to get them a little, you know, put more eyeballs on them, essentially, you know? And those bigger gyms have the connections that make a difference. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, and it's kind of unfair, but at the same time, like, if you're taking your role as a professional fighter seriously, you need to understand that you have to make sacrifices that put you in a position to be afforded the opportunity. And you know, maybe the opportunity's not there right now, but, you know, like look at Ricky, right? Like, everybody's been like clamoring to have Ricky get a chance, and he did get a chance, and he fought really well, and he didn't get a contract. But like you just said, there's word that maybe Sean Shelby went and talked to him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, just there's another kid who got invited back to the Tuesday Night Contender Series. They want to have him come back. You know, if they offer that to Ricky, I would be shocked if he said no way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like of course he's going to take that opportunity, and he's going to, you know, and he's going to make the most of it. You know, but it's like. You know, opportunities knock at weird times for weird people in a different way. And, you know, I think...
I just wish there was more structure to it, more of a, you know, like a definitive way. Because, like, there's, like, you know who that pretty boy fucking guy is who's in Bellator?
Yeah, the kid that...
He's 1-2, or 1-3.
Yeah.
And what? Are you kidding me? Like, I ran into that guy at a show. We went down to Sacramento, and he was fighting. I think he was still an amateur.
Anthony Taylor, right? That's his name?
That's his fucking name. And we went down to watch Tyson fight, and he was on the card, and he was just, you know, John, whatever. But, like, he wasn't jawing, like, cocky jawing. He was just talking about himself and Superman and shit, and he goes out there and gets beat. So, like, I remember this guy. He's never been good. Like, that's the thing. He's never fucking been good. But here he is. Somehow he's in Bellator, right? I know another person. I'm not even gonna say their name, but they're 2-1, and they're on the Ultimate Fighter. Like, what?
Yeah, well, you know, the Ultimate Fighter is really about how you sell yourself, right? Like, you go through all these interviews, like you know, if you want to get on reality TV, in the interview, cry. In the interview, you know, tell them that your mom left when you were a baby. You know what I mean? You lie your ass off and make yourself look crazy, or make yourself look something. Because it's reality TV at the end of the day. As long as you have a good enough record and you made the list of dudes they're going to interview, just you gotta win that. Surely on the interview, man, it has nothing to do with fighting skill. But it's funny you mentioned Taylor. He's a popular person on my podcast, because, you know, Sunshine did his whole thing about him, and you know, to that guy's credit, he hit me up and was like, yo man, I want to do your podcast, I want to talk to you. Yeah. And I you know, I respect that, you know, like because I wasn't trying to be like, I'm not trying to hate on someone who's a professional fighter, because I can't fight, you know what I mean? Like,
well, neither can he, but
like, but but, like, you know, like I have to give him credit for some of the things that he does have, you know? And so, because I'm not going to just like, I'm not just going to like shit on a guy, but like, does he deserve to be in one of the top promotions in the world? No, not really. You know, but I think they brought him in strictly to lose to Gallagher in that fight. And I think they thought Gallagher was going to mop him up inside of one round, and it didn't, you know, it didn't work out that way. But, you know, he has a team that has close ties to Bellator, and that makes a huge difference. You know, I, you know, it's, you know, I see like a better chance for you to get to Bellator than for you to get to the UFC only because of your, you know, only because of your relationship with Chael.
Yeah, and
Chael's
with Bellator. I 100% agree.
And,
I
mean, and, you know, like you definitely, you know, you're one of the toughest fighters, you know, in town, but you certainly have a reputation as being a tough dude. So like, yeah, you know, it's, I think for you, it'll be interesting to see what happens when you make that cut to 55. And, you know, I think that's gonna, you know, that's going to be, if the cut works out for you, I think that's going to make a lot of sense. And I think you're going to see a huge difference in the level of competition that you face.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, this Neuro fight, it's a perfect example of it. Like, you know, he's what, top five in our state or whatever, or mm-hmm. West Coast, whatever the fuck. I don't know how the rankings work, but you know, I'm jumping into the deep end already, like with the lightweight division, which is, you know, fine with me. I feel like I belong there. I like, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, I just sense. Trained with Kevin Lee. Like, I know I can hang with the top guys. Like, I, Brent Primus, he's a champion. Like,
yeah,
we've had fucking many of sparring sessions. Like, I know it's sparring, but if you were to watch some of the tape, you go, wait, who's the champion here? Like, I don't know, man. It's like I said, it's just frustrating. I'm like, I'm at a point right now. Like I've been doing a lot of analyzing on my own career, a lot of other stuff. And, you know, I'm just, I'm at a point where I'm over this waiting. Like, I want it to happen now.
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're knocking on the door, man. And I think the fight with Prime is going to be great for you. There's going to be a lot of attention on that fight. You know, they've put together a great card. There's a lot of really good fighters on that card. And it, I think in terms of like big pro shows here, mm-hmm. you know, locally, they've really placed themselves, you know, on a bit of a pedestal in a sense that, you know, they're bringing in good talent mm-hmm. and they're giving opportunities to guys who deserve the opportunities. And I think that you and Brian are the right guys to, you know, to headline a card like that. It makes a lot of sense to me, mm-hmm. but I think you're going to see a difference in the opponent in the cage. Like when you lost your title at Prime, I'm like watching you stand, you know, stand next to this guy. And he was so clearly a weight class bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That guy was so big.
Yeah.
And like, I know you have good takedown defense, and to see him take you down the way he did, I was a little bit surprised.
Yeah.
But you know,
no, I was surprised too. I was like, ah, shit, this again.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you know, I mean, he had your timing, and he had a good takedown off of a punch that he was landing, and you know,
that was
a weird
and
the
fight
dude was
for me
so,
too.
But he was so big, and on top of you, he must have felt so heavy, like you know, heavier than a guy, you know, because if you're fighting at 155, man, you're gonna have so much strength, mm-hmm. it's gonna. I think you're going to feel the difference. I'm excited to see what happens for you because I think that's going to be awesome. You know, like,
yeah, I'm excited to see the difference too. Like, the one thing I feel like that's really going to still carry over for me that, you know, is my speed. Like, I think a lot of people are going to, they underestimate my speed, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I'm dropping down a weight class. So they think, oh, well, I'm naturally the lighter person. So I should be able to, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I think motherfuckers are going to be slipping.
Yeah.
And they're going to get caught with something stupid.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think of Brian as a super fast, fast
he's
guy.
He's not fast. He's not fast at all.
But he's very technically sound.
Ah,
and man, his jiu-jitsu is top notch.
His jiu-jitsu, I'll give him that, technically sound.
Yeah.
But if you watch anything else he does, he's herky jerky. Fucking, what is he doing out there?
Well, he admits that he's not the you know, he can be a little stiff in the striking department. He admits that, but it's something he's working on. You know, like
his wrestling.
Like I've talked to him quite a bit. It's stuff that he's working on. And you know, we've talked about it before. No one's ever said they have an easy fight with Brian Nero. It's never
gonna
happen.
It's not gonna be an easy fight. 100%.
And I think like in terms of the work that he's putting in with his team, mm-hmm. I think it's good for him because he's staying really active.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just doing jiu-jitsu, he's being active with teammates who are fighting now more often, which I think is good for him. But obviously at your gym, you have guys who are getting ready for world title fights for really big fights. So
I feel like it's kind of a different level. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's a different story, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm excited to see that fight, but
it's an interesting fight. I mean, not to like hijack your podcast now.
No, man, go for it.
But like, you know, like I'm trying to, like, I sit back and I'm watching him. Like, obviously his jiu-jitsu is legit, right? That's
his jiu-jitsu is smooth as fuck.
That's number one. It's his jiu-jitsu. But outside of his jits, what else does he do that's really well? Like, what is he going to do? Like, you watch his fights, you don't really see him do takedowns. You don't really see him go for many takedowns. You know, his striking, he's never knocked anyone out, I don't think. You know, so I sit back, I'm like, all right. Because, like, I try to get inside, like, my opponent's head. I'm like, okay, I know for a fact their game plan is obviously going to be, let's get this to the ground, right?
Yeah.
I just don't see how they do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, if you can keep it on the feet, I think you certainly have an advantage. I mean,
don't
you know,
be surprised if I take him down.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you took him down either, because it's a different fight with him on his back than him on top of you. Obviously, you know, like his top game is, I think just about every grappler's top game is going to be is going to be what they're going to go to. There's a handful of guys who are going to want to be on their back over on top of their opponent, right? But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw that, but you know, if you kept it on the feet, you obviously have, I would assume you would have the power advantage. You know, you're known as a power puncher. I've watched you in person knock people out, and it's the real deal. But you know, I think that I've seen what Brian is doing in terms of, supplementing his striking a little bit, you know, and yeah, he's a little stiff, but he's certainly working on his head movement. I know that for certain, and that, you know, that's obviously important for him.
I kind of hope so.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if he opened up with more kicks in this fight. I know he's working a little bit on some kickboxing. So, you know, just from what I'm seeing online, I'm not divulging any secret info, guys. I don't have like the inside track on anything. I'm just saying that's what I see.
Oh no, you mean he's training all aspects of mixed martial arts?
Yeah.
Please stop telling me information.
But yeah. You know, so that's probably, you know, Pacific Northwest wise, that's a big fight for us here. But you know, we're only,
and it's not even the main event or co-main.
It's not. I thought you guys were the main event. Who's the main event?
I'm being treated like I'm the main event because I'm the only motherfucker who can sell a fight on this goddamn card.
Who's the main event?
Who's the main event is that coconut from Hawaii and some fucking, like, Siberian husky or something.
All right. A coconut and a husky. All right.
A Russian or whatever he is.
What's the joke? A coconut and a husky walk into a bar?
Yeah.
No, that's not it?
I don't know. There's something there. We can figure that one out.
Yeah.
And then I think the co-main is TJ, my buddy and teammate, TJ Kohler versus the Fugit guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam Fugit?
Adam Fugit.
Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
They're fighting for the welterweight belt. And then I'll be, you know.
Yeah,
fight before that.
Yeah, well, it'll be a good fight, but that's a big fight here. But we've talked about it before. There's another big fight coming up. It's a boxing match, but probably the biggest fight that that we can think of in the last, I don't know, five years or so.
Yeah,
you know, that's Conor McGregor and
2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks away. That, you know, there's like a small chance I might get to go to that fight.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
So my buddy, he gets tickets to pretty much any fight he wants to go to in Vegas. And the guy who he gets tickets from is a professional poker player. And,
okay.
He's not super into fights. And he said, if that guy doesn't want to go and he's got the extra ticket, hotel's paid for, I just have to fly down. So
that'd
I'm like,
dope.
I'm watching on the TikTok. Hey, Lance, let me know, buddy.
Yeah.
But you know, even if I can't, that's okay. I'll still watch it. But, it'll be a big weekend for me. If I could go down to Vegas, go to the fights, I come back, I close on my new house.
I think Worlds is down there too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That'd, I think it's the same weekend.
Oh, that'd be
so
exciting.
You might be able to, you know, get a little jits in there.
Yeah. Get a little of this, a little of that. But so Conor McGregor's fighting Floyd Mayweather. And this week we had the infamous video leak. And I posted on Twitter, I said, so we know that Conor McGregor can look good for at least 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And you put me on blast. I said, told me not to be a sheep.
Just don't be a sheep. That's all I wanted to do.
10 seconds, man.
I know. You said 10 seconds. I just want to make sure that you weren't going to be like, oh, no, maybe like you weren't buying into it. I just want to make sure no one's buying into this bullshit because it is an edited video and it is a short clip. Yes, it does look like he appears to drop Paulie, but if you watch it and it has been dissected, the way that he, you know, he tags him, whatever. But, like, right before the Paulie goes down, if you watch him, he's slipping. Connor does kind of push down on his head a little bit, and he throws a hook, but the hook misses. And as Paulie's pulling back, that's when he loses his footing, and he falls down.
I don't really care about the knockdown versus the slip. Yeah. I don't really care about that. All I care about is there's that clip and then a second clip that they put out. And in both of those, Connor's landing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, definitely. Connor's landing. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing, is that he's landing on a professional fighter, or professional boxer, I should say, who's a former champion. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Paulie is not on the level of Floyd Mayweather. He's not. But, you know, but it's still cool to see, because at least it puts some intrigue out there. Paulie was. I don't care, man.
That is a big, big factor. He was out of shape, for one.
No.
Two, that's in the later rounds. This has been stated. It's in the later rounds. You get tired, you're going to get tagged up a little bit.
Okay.
That matters, man.
So here's why I don't think it matters. Because we have sat here, like you and I, and mm-hmm. talked about how Conor McGregor cannot box with Floyd Mayweather, mm-hmm. and most boxers are going to beat him, and he needs to do this.
Well, you've seen the other video of the other boxer he boxed with, right? Where he got fucked up.
Yeah, where he got fucked up. But again, it's so hard because we're not seeing everything. We're seeing like a clip of a round in each, you know, in each scenario. Like, one video was what, like 40 seconds, and the other two.
No, there's like a full round.
Is it a full round?
There's a full round where because Connor tried to do what he did to Paulie, where he did his Mac life, and he edited it, and the homeboy's like, nah. And he released the whole round, and it's Connor's just getting fucked up, and it's like, so this is what really happened.
But that's my point, is like, I don't care if you're out of shape, if you're like a recent former world champion, I feel like you should just get in there. Yeah, but I feel like you should just get in there and be able to box him up, you know?
No, like, I think he was fine with it. I think everything was cool until the videos and all that stuff came out, and he's like, wait a minute here, you guys can't be just, you know, like. It kind of hurt, you know, he's a prideful guy. He's clearly. Fucking Italian.
Yeah.
You know, if it was so dominant as they say, release the whole thing.
Yeah. No, but see, it doesn't make any sense to release the whole thing. If they release it after, and they really do release it, mm-hmm. and Paulie looks like a big douchebag, like, oh, for that, this, because yeah. he already kind of looks like a douchebag. Yeah. Like, you know, it's going to just devastate him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you will never turn Conor McGregor off at that point. If that video comes out and it even looks like it's close, looks like it's 50-50, you will never shut Conor up about it. Not in a million years. Like it'll never happen. And like, God forbid Conor McGregor wins this fight by some miraculous miracle, you know, like
some Irish fucking,
yeah, know, right. Like
voodoo.
Yeah. I don't know. Like some God comes down and puts their power into his hand and just, you know, and it just happens. Like, if that happens, man, like I don't care what video comes out, release every video you getting beat up ever. You just knocked out Floyd Mayweather. Who cares? But for Paulie, like, man, this guy is going on a tirade. Like, he went on this insane Twitter rant about it. And it's like, look, dude, like, go on one podcast and explain why you think it's crazy. And
I would love for why him you to be on it's... Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right? Yeah, go on Joe Rogan and talk a little bit. Yeah. But, like, right now, like, let's be honest. This is hands down, far and away, the most media attention that dude's ever gotten in his career. Like, no doubt about it. Like, okay, I'm not, like, I don't watch a ton of boxing. Mm-hmm. Like I admit that. Like, I watched boxing like way more in the 90s than I do now. Like I just don't watch as much boxing, and I never, like, I don't know who he is.
Really?
I'd never seen him fight.
I was a huge fan of his, actually.
Oh, see, I didn't know him. I didn't know
him. I really
him,
liked
right?
him growing up.
Yeah. See, he's not someone who even came across my radar, but like, mm-hmm. even if, like, you're on, like, Showtime or HBO or whatever, like this is far and away the most media attention he's ever gotten. Yeah. Like, there's no question about it, man. Like,
that's true.
Like handle it like a professional, because you look like kind of a dick right now. Like, you really look like kind of a dick. You're like, oh, this video's edited, and here's why it's edited. Like, do you have a video editing license? Like, is that what you do in your spare time?
Well,
man, like, come on, like.
You got to kind of look at it from his perspective too, though.
Like, yeah, but
it's embarrassing in the fact that, you know, he was supposed to, you know, he was a former world champion boxer.
Sure.
This and that, and this new guy's coming in. Everyone's like, oh, you know, this guy should not hang out with any boxers. And then you're getting all this footage released, you know, where it's very biased, of course, which is, you know, it's going to be. But, I mean, the fact, like, before the footage was even released, it was big news knowing that he was going to be a part of the camp.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But here's the thing. Like, he freaks out because they released a picture and he says that he wasn't treated well in the camp. Like, okay. Like, leave it at that, bro. Like, mm-hmm. just be like, you know what? I don't like the way they treated me. I thought he was kind of a dick. I thought Connor was kind of a douchebag. Mm-hmm. Thought his coaches were whack. Yeah. And they released his picture and I'm not into it. Like, leave it at that. But instead, he just keeps on. And he didn't shut his mouth because Connor didn't say shit about it. Connor didn't make a tweet about it until the day Dana White released the video, which was like yesterday or the day before. Yeah. And like, he went on and on and on. Like, bro, like, he's like, oh, I'm going to go to Mayweather's camp and blah, 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 blah. Like, come on, bro.
But
like,
do you think any of that was enticed by Connor's fans?
Maybe.
After he, you know, maybe he just made the one statement. He's like, all right, I'm just fucking whatever.
Maybe. But turn your phone off. He's a grown up, man.
It's so much harder. Dude, it's so much harder. It's so much harder than you think.
No, you know what? It's not. It's not. You know what I don't do? I don't go look at comments when people post my articles on Reddit MMA. Because everyone on there is a critic. Everyone hates everything. You write an opinion piece. You're not even... You're doing this in the wrong person. You're not supposed to say, I think. And you're not supposed to... Like, bro, shut the fuck up. You're on Reddit MMA. You're doing this thing. And it's some hurtful ass shit. Like, people have said some mean shit to me. And you know what I don't do? I don't go online and attack them. I don't give a fuck, man. I just turn it off. Like, I'm
fighting,
a grown up.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, but he's not fighting. He's in a training camp. Like we're not talking.
It's still a prideful thing, man. Like, yeah. I can't. It's hard for you to understand. Like, for me
no,
to
I'm sure, man. I'm sure. I understand that. But like, man, like,
because it's such a, like, fighting is such a such a personal thing. It's such a, you're laying everything on the line because it's just you.
I totally get it.
You know, and you train for something and you put in all this hard work and this dedication for this one moment, and then everyone just starts shitting on you. Like, it's a lot to take. It's
for,
a lot. It's
for
a lot.
Sure. For sure. But in this case, he's not training for one of his own fights.
He's not. He's
and
not.
And you know, and like,
but I mean, I still think he has, you know,
but like, man, like, people are going to talk shit to you online. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and the minute you agreed to go to McGregor's camp, like, you opened the door, dude. Like, like, you opened the door. And if he would have just kept his mouth shut,
I think,
and
he
left.
Just thought, like, okay, we're gonna build a friendship here. Like, a lot of times when you work with someone,
that's true,
you usually have something, you know, positive going off of that.
For
it's
sure.
It's very rare for you to come in and work with someone and then for you guys not to like each other, like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's an interesting situation. I mean, I agree with you with the whole, like, yeah, he is taking a little bit far. Like, at this point, it's a little tired.
You know?
It's a little tired.
Like that's how I feel about it. I mean, and shit, there's more attention being paid to this right now than the fight itself.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's that, like, that's crazy.
Like, maybe,
I mean,
that's,
I'm actually really impressed that Connor only said, like, one or two things. Like, it shows maybe he's actually focused on the fight. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He has to be, man.
Yeah, he's an obsessive dude, man. I mean, he's one of those kind of people, like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, those kind of people. Like, he's insanely competitive and focused. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I just heard this story the other day. It was who was it? I can't remember who the basketball player was, but they were saying that they walked into the gym early to warm up because they heard Kobe Bryant would go to the gym early to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
And he got there and he sees Kobe Bryant's already there, and they start, you know, he starts working out across from him, and they're making baskets, doing their thing. And the guy makes, like, something, you know, he works out for like 25 minutes covered in sweat. He stops, and Kobe Bryant just sits there and just keeps going and works out for like 10 more minutes.
Yeah. And he's like, make like a 1,000 shots,
some shit like that. But he's like, so he like asks him after the game. He's like, man, why'd you keep working out? Like, whatever. And he said, 'cause I wanted you to know that I worked harder than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wanted you to know that I worked harder than you for this game tonight.
Yeah.
Like one game in the NBA, which realistically, like, we all know, unless it's down to the end of the season, probably doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and Kobe dropped 40 on him that night, you know, like, And so, like, that kind of mindset is what I expect from Conor McGregor and what I expect from Floyd Mayweather. So
exactly,
I'm glad that the media tour ended and they both seem really focused on the fight, because maybe it'll make for something cool. I mean, I don't know. Floyd's talking about he won't let it go 12 rounds because, you know, but we'll see what happens. But
bullshit. It's going to decision.
We'll see.
Yeah, man. It'll be interesting. You know, I wouldn't be surprised after this. If you see a partnership between Mayweather and McGregor, I think that was my first guess. Like, before this fight was even made, was like, they're going to create a promotion together and go into MMA. That's what I thought. Maybe. I still think that's a possibility.
Maybe. I mean, you know, they seem like they hate each other. I mean, I know McGregor is really good at selling that.
Did you see that they were sharing like a private jet plane?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. No. So that whole, like, during the whole, like, world tour, supposedly the whole time they were, like, on the same fucking jet plane together. So, like, it's all just a shit.
Well, I mean, it was so clearly planned, like, when they did the thing with the backpack and the flag and all that. Yeah. Like, that was so stupidly obvious that it was planned out. So, you know, whatever. I mean, they seem, I don't know, man, they don't seem to get along super well in public, but who knows, behind the scenes, maybe they're besties, BFFs forever, you know, whatever,
or I mean,
BFFs, I guess.
No, same. I'm sure there is some, like, you know, I mean, you're fighting someone, so I wouldn't be surprised if there is, like, legit, like, you know, resentment, or,
yeah,
I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I'm saying.
There's some animosity there.
Animosity, that's the fucking word. Yeah.
That's why I get paid the small bucks.
Yeah, there you go. That's why you're the writer, man. You know the fancy vocab.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like, you know, you got to sell the fight. That's the big thing, is selling fights, and they're the two best at it, and it'll be interesting. It's, you know.
I'm excited to watch it. I'm surprised to hear the tickets aren't selling well.
Yeah, well, I heard the prices are fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy. But I mean, to say that it won't be full is crazy, because there's going to be plenty of people there that, you know, that are going to end up getting tickets. But yeah, totally. I mean, and people are going to be like, yeah, come, bring 10 people. I have 10 extra seats.
And then the month after that is Triple G and Canelo.
Yeah, which is getting no love at all.
I heard it's already sold out, though.
Maybe.
Is that true? I don't know. That's the fight I want to see.
Yeah, no, that'll be an incredible fight. That'll be an incredible fight. But
who have you got in that?
Probably Canelo.
Yeah.
I think he's too smooth right now.
I think so too.
He's really, like,
I feel like he's been tested more than Triple G as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, for sure. And he fought Mayweather. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that in itself, I mean, granted, he got dominated, but probably fought him a little earlier than he needed to. Like,
if you think if Canelo and McGregor were to box, you think that goes 12 rounds?
I don't know. Canelo has power, man. Like, right? I wouldn't be surprised if Canelo knocked him out. I mean,
and I don't think Mayweather is much faster than Canelo, if at all.
Yeah, it would be hard to say. It'd be hard to say. I honestly, I'd have to watch more of Canelo's fights. I've only probably seen four.
The only reason why I brought that up is just because all these delusional fuck faces who are saying McGregor is going to win.
Yeah, well, if now he's saying he's going to go back to MMA. I was on record, like, come on, guys. He's about to make $100 million. Why the fuck is he going to go fight MMA again? How stupid is that? Why would you do that?
Especially to go get beat up by fucking whoever.
But it's hard to turn down millions of dollars, right? It's really hard to turn down millions of dollars. I mean, shit. You think Jay Cutler really wanted to go play quarterback? Or did he really want $10 million? I think he really wanted $10 million.
Yeah, I mean, well, he was getting paid, though, for the
sports. He wasn't getting paid $10 million.
Still a fancy. It's still nice.
You know. Yeah, it's a little check. It's a little money, but $10 million, hey, bro. Man. That's money.
I feel like
I'd let you take a butcher knife and cut my pinky finger off right now for $10 million.
Really?
Fuck yeah, cash free. Cut it off. Fucking bite it off. I don't give a fuck. $10 million all day long.
I don't think I could do that.
Shit. You don't think you could bite my finger off?
No,
you don't
I
think
mean,
you could
I,
do it.
I don't think I'd be in the same boat.
It's your pinky. What, like, what do you use your pinky for?
You know, I have this thing about, like, deformities on people and stuff. And, like, if I were to have one, I'd be ashamed of myself.
I don't know if you would, man, because you'd be checking that bank account and you'd be like, oh, I got $10 million in the bank.
And then
you wouldn't be worried about fighting
this little piggy never came back from the market.
Yeah, well, you get a cool tattoo that says, "This little piggy didn't come home." Come on, man. That's $10 million. I think people think that they say no for $10 million, but $10 million is a lot of money, man. I'd do it for less. I'll be honest with you.
No way.
Yeah, why not? If like someone was like, "Yo, would you take $10,000 to fight Mike Tyson?" Hell yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Mike Tyson lay me out with one punch for $10,000?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Man, I'll even try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? $10,000. Sure, man. I got plenty of debt. I just bought a new house. It was expensive.
Yeah.
Wow. I could use 10 G's. Anybody want to give me 10 G's? Let me know.
Anyone want to give me like 20 bucks?
Yeah, 20 bucks. Yeah, let me know. I'm good with free money.
Yeah. Just don't cut off my pinky or...
Jake doesn't want to get his pinky cut off, but punch him in the head repeatedly for a few years. Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I don't know. I guess I would have to really sit down and think about this.
What about your ears? Are you worried about those being a deformity?
Oh, my ears are fucked. Like right now, they're pretty sore. Like this.
You don't have that bad. Yours aren't that bad.
No, but my right one's starting to get bad. Like on the back of the ear right now, it's all cut up. And like sleeping at night sucks right now.
Yeah. That's the worst part. You gotta sleep on your back.
Yeah.
Like you're dead.
Well, something like that. Yeah.
Right on. Well, anyway, man, I think that wraps it up. We've gone long enough.
All right.
Been a little over an hour, but
sweet.
So we don't really have a favorite fight this week. I guess my favorite fight is Ricky Simone winning Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series.
There we go.
Big ups to Ricky. I hope you get the next fight. And you know what? Shout out to my homie Austin Arnett for also getting the win a couple weeks before on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Oh, congrats to that
had
guy.
had a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. Contract? I mean, a real war. So, huh?
Did he get a contract?
No, he didn't get the contract. But you know what? Like, I think just like Ricky, he's one of these guys who's knocking on the door, and they know his name, and I know Sean Shelby knows who he is. So mm-hmm. Sean Shelby, come on, man. Hook Austin up and hook Ricky up too, because those guys work super hard and they deserve it. You know, some people are out there working half as hard as those guys, and it's, you know, that's the way it goes. But I, you know, certainly to me, not a negative that they didn't get the contract, because they did get the win, and I think that's really, like, you know, get out there and perform. You can't, you know, shit, he's only given out like 7 contracts. Like he's being tight with them for a reason, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'd rather that than everybody who wins gets a contract. That's ridiculous.
There were some terrible fucking fights.
Yeah, right. You know, so whatever. But yeah, so my favorite fight this week, Ricky Simone getting the win over, I don't remember the dude's name, but he's,
who cares?
What's his brother's name?
I don't know.
No, his brother won the Ultimate Fighter.
Did he win the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, his brother's Ultimate Fighter winner.
I know he's a 205er.
Khalil Roundtree.
I didn't know that he won the Ultimate
Ricky
Fighter.
Ricky Simone beat Khalil Roundtree's brother, who has a different last name. I don't remember his last name, but whatever. Anyway, shout out to Ricky. Shout out to everybody for listening. Do me a favor, guys. Tell a couple people about the podcast. You know, let people know. Share it. You know, hook me up. Maybe go on iTunes, write a review. Follow my boy, Jake Smith, at UberSmitty on Twitter, on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter, DavidGoldenMMA. If you don't like what I had to say, hit me up and yell at me about it. If you do like what I had to say, hit me up and yell at me about it. You could email me, DavidGoldenMMA@gmail.com. You can go to OregonSportsNews.com, and you can check out the articles I put up there. I got articles up every other week, and there's some other great podcasts on that site that you should listen to that are pretty fun if you're into basketball or in anything Oregon related. You know, got a lot going on, so please follow me, hit me up. You know, you have requests for somebody to come on, yell at them, because I probably already have, so you need to yell at them too. So if you want to hear Ricky Simone on my podcast, bombard him, because I've asked him a million times and Ricky doesn't want to do my podcast. So, you know, let's be real, guys. Get people on. But I say it every time. There's a ton of great fights out there. I know it can be hard to pick just one, but think about it. What's your favorite fight?
Hey, what? Real quick, though.
Yeah.
Before you end this, I want you guys all to tweet at Brian Nuro and tell him he fucked up by finally accepting this fight after he declined twice. So tweet at Brian Nuro, you fucked up. Hashtag Smitty can't fuck with the kid.
And that'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening, guys.